For the last 5 months or so, I've been actually in school at Southern Adventist University in Tennessee. And how many of you guys have ever been to Southern before? Just to visit, or you've been there? Okay, that's like most of you. So I don't have to tell you already that it's really beautiful, especially at this moment. Earlier this year, when I was leaving here to go there, El Nino hit. And we got a lot of snow here, and the grass actually turned green, and it was really pretty. And then when I got there, because it's winter, everything was kind of dead. but now I'm here, and it's good to be home. And, you know, there's a lot of things I miss while being away. One thing I do miss for sure is I miss the people here. And I miss coming to Advent Hope. One thing that I really enjoy, though, for those of you who have been to Southern, who have not been to Southern, is the greenery over there. All the waterfalls there, the lakes, the rivers. And so when I got here, I'm like, oh, man, I really miss that. So either way, I'm missing something, but it's good to be home, and it's good to be here at Advent Hope. This is like a family to me, and I'm really excited about today's presentation. By the way, before I begin, I just want to make a quick little announcement on my own behalf. There is a cool ministry that I'm aware of. It's called Proof Directory. Has anyone heard of Proof Directory before? Maybe just a few. Proof Directory is a ministry that my friends are leading out on YouTube and also on Facebook, where they upload various Bible studies, very short Bible studies, 3 or 4 minutes long, by different speakers, and it's such a blessing. I encourage you to go check it out. But with that being said, I'm really excited about today's message. Today's presentation is entitled, as the screen says, Faith versus Feelings. Today we're going to talk about faith, we're going to talk about feelings, and we're going to get into the Word of God. Amen? So why don't we begin with a word of prayer? Loving Father in heaven, we thank you so much, Lord, that we could come together to study your word. I pray, Father God, that as I'm about to speak, that you would hide me behind the cross. I pray, Father, that you would tailor make this message, that it would touch people's hearts, that they would not hear me, but that they would hear you. Please bless us, Lord, as we study faith and feelings this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Faith versus feelings. You know, this message has been on my heart for quite a while, and I've shared Bible studies before on faith before, but I'm not sure, I don't think I've ever shared it here at Advent Hope, faith and feelings. This topic is very important because so often we tend to confuse faith and feelings. We think that faith might be that funny feeling that I'm getting in my heart, that tingling sensation. Is this God speaking to me? How do I know where to go in life? And so often we make choices based upon the way that we feel. In fact, most of our choices are greatly influenced by the way that we're feeling. For example, this week I thought, you know, what do I feel like wearing this week when I speak at Advent Hope? Do I want to wear my gray suit or my black suit? What do I feel like wearing? And for some of you guys, do I feel like wearing a tie or do I feel like wearing no tie? How about a bow tie? You dress up based upon the way that you feel, right? How about going out to eat? This one's kind of tricky, especially when you're a bigger group of friends. Hey, everybody, what do you feel like eating? And someone says, I feel like having Thai food. Yeah, I love Thai food. And someone else says, I feel like having Mexican food. Or someone might say, I feel like having pizza. And someone else might say, you know what? I feel like just skipping food altogether and just going straight to dessert. And so based upon the way that we feel, we often make choices. And sometimes those choices can become more serious. For example, you come to church and you meet someone nice, right? And you might think they're a little bit good looking, perhaps. And then the question is, do you have feelings for that person? And is it mutual? And those feelings could lead to something even more serious. So we can see that our feelings, whether small or big, can influence the choices that we make. If that's clear, say amen. So our feelings are very, very powerful. But today, we are talking about faith and feelings. Now, there's nothing wrong with feelings in and of itself, amen? Nothing wrong with it. We're not saying that feelings is better or worse, but what we're going to see today is that there is a distinction between the two. And I'm going to try to play with this clicker here. So we want to go to what the Bible says, and we'll be looking at what the Bible says today. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Now, I know that some of you probably already have an idea of where I am going here, but we are going to set the foundation. We are going to do what, everyone? We are going to set the foundation. We are going to Hebrews chapter 11, very familiar Bible text, Hebrews chapter 11. And we know that Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the chapter of faith, or sometimes we call it the hall of faith, like the hall of fame, because in Hebrews 11, we find many stories about people, men and women of God, who had lived by faith in the Old Testament. So what is faith? The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is a what, everyone? Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is the Bible definition of what faith is. The Bible says faith is the substance. Now the question is, what is the substance? What is substance? And perhaps there are many ways we could try to interpret what substance is, but I'm going to go on a little stretch here and then justify it with the Bible. When you look at the word substance, the prefix is sub, which means below, right? Like submarine. It goes below the water. Subway, right? Not the sandwich place, but subway. It goes underneath the road, or sub-zero temperature. It goes below 0 degrees. Or how about subtract? You're going lower in the numerical, you know, numbers, right? So sub, the prefix often refers to below, and then stance, right? You're taking a stance. If you're in martial arts, there are different stances that you're taking. It's how you're standing, right? So when you look at substance, it's what's below you. It's what you're standing on. So another word for that is your foundation. So in other words, faith is the substance, or faith is your foundation. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, that's kind of cute. That's kind of nice, but that's a stretch. And you're right, it is kind of a stretch, but allow me to take you to a Bible text. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And as you know, Jesus, he preached a sermon called the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But he concludes his sermon in chapter 7, and he concludes his sermon with an appeal story. Matthew chapter 7, and we are looking at verse 24. Jesus is concluding with a parable. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, therefore, Jesus says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a what kind of a man? A wise man who built his house on a what? Oh, what is this rock? Okay, it's Jesus, but what else does this rock represent? It is a foundation, okay? And then he goes on to say, verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on a sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the wind blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So Jesus says, look, if you hear my words and you follow them, you are like the wise man who built his house on a solid foundation. The storm came, but it stood the test of time. But if you hear my words and don't follow, you're like the foolish man who did not build his house on a solid foundation. So Jesus says, follow my words, solid foundation. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Let's go there real quick. Of course, these are familiar Bible texts, but sometimes the Lord can show us something new as we read familiar texts. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans 10. Verse 17, we are setting the context, the foundation. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible says, so then, faith, we're talking about faith and feelings today, faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the word of God. And Jesus was God. So when Jesus said, if you hear my words and follow them, you are setting yourself up on a solid foundation. Therefore, when we look at Hebrews chapter 11, when faith is a substance, it's safe to say that faith is our solid foundation. Foundation on the Word of God. And that's good news. Because God does not lie, amen? And God's best interest is in you. God actually cares about you, and He wants the best for you. That's the kind of God that we serve. Now, we're looking here. So we're looking at faith, and we're talking about faith. God's word is reliable. And why is God's word reliable? Because God himself, he doesn't change, right? We're going to come back to that. Well, let's take a moment and talk about feelings and emotions right now. Feelings and emotions. Our feelings are a bit different. When it comes to our feelings, because we are emotional creatures, God designed us that way, our feelings are not always, you know, going on a solid direction. In fact, I have a picture here of a roller coaster. I think I heard someone say roller coaster. We have here a picture of a roller coaster. A number of years ago, I went to an amusement park, and I went there, and it was free for me. It was a youth group that went there, and I decided, you know what? Since I'm going for free, I might as well try out all the rides there, and for sure. And so I went on this ride, one of these rides, and this ride was really intense because it had loops. It was quick. It accelerated, it decelerated, and you know, it was pretty crazy. Now, some people say they discourage going to roller coasters. I'm not exactly sure for the reason, but I had a spiritual experience on the roller coaster because I was praying the entire time. And I was repenting of all my sins, like, Lord, if I don't make it. So I had a revival experience, and so I had a good spiritual experience, and it was free, so it was good. Now, these things, they're kind of expensive. You know, going to like these amusement parks, they're kind of pricey. People like roller coasters. And I think about a roller coaster. What makes a roller coaster so exciting? Adrenaline rush is changing directions. It's going up. It's going down. It accelerates, and then it goes slow, and it's spinning around. That's what makes it exciting. It's unpredictable. Now, how many of you would spend that much money to go to amusement park and you get on a ride and it doesn't go up and down, left or right, it just goes straight, horizontally. There's no slope, no turns, and it's just, there's no acceleration. It's just constantly 10 miles an hour. You might as well ride the bus because it's cheaper and it's local. People don't pay that kind of money to go on something that's consistent. People pay the money because they want something fun and unpredictable. Now, that might have its place, but that's just like our emotions. Our emotions, sometimes we're feeling good. Like today is a beautiful day. The birds are singing. The sun is shining. And it's such a nice day. And then there's other days where like, oh man, like this is not a good day. Our emotions are always changing. But there's nothing wrong with emotions in and of itself, amen? God created us to be emotional people. And some guys get in trouble for not being enough emotional, right? There's nothing wrong with being emotional, because imagine this. If we did not have emotions, life would be very boring. Don't you think? I mean, imagine this. How many of you guys have ever planned a surprise party for your friends? Oh yeah? Okay, some of us have, and I have done a couple times as well. And you know, there's something about a surprise. You know, it takes so much effort. You know, you have to like keep it a secret, and you have to somehow go behind their back and order the food and get the party supplies and hide the balloons and the gifts. And you have to do it in such a way that he or she does not find out. And you gather all your friends. You have secret events on Facebook. You're like, just don't tell anybody. And everyone gathers at the house or the place. You turn off the lights. You're hiding. That person comes in and, surprise, we're all here. Now, if that guy or girl did not have emotions, he'd be like, who cares? And you know, and sometimes if you actually do know it's a surprise, you got to still act surprised, right? Because they went through all that hard work. But if you had no emotions, I mean, that would be a very boring party, birthday party. Imagine going to your favorite restaurant, ordering your favorite dish, which is probably impossible if you had no emotions. But imagine if you went to your favorite restaurant and ordered your favorite dish, and you haven't eaten all day, and you take your first bite, and your friend's like, what do you think? Nothing. I have no emotions. Right? I mean, like, it would be boring not to have emotions. And so God has given us emotions. He's given us feelings. There's nothing wrong with that. However, we're talking today about faith and feelings. What are we talking about today? Faith and feelings. And they are two different things. As we establish, feelings or emotions are constantly changing, but God's word does not change. Let's go to Malachi. That's in the Old Testament. Malachi. And we are going to chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. And we are looking at verse 6. Now let me know when you're all there with a happy, hearty amen.
Amen.
Okay, half of us. I still see pages turning. Okay. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. The Bible says, "For I am the Lord." Finish that phrase.
I change not.
Or King James, I do not change. Same thing. I am the Lord. I do not change. God does not change. Amen? God says what he means, and he means what he says. You can trust in the word of God. Let's look at one more Bible text. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And we are going to look at verse 8. Hebrews 13, verse 8. We all there? I still hear some pages. Hebrews 13, verse 8. The Bible says, Jesus Christ is the same when? Yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. Amen? He is the same. God does not change. And therefore, God is reliable. That's good news. Because if God was not reliable, that would be really scary. But the fact is, God is reliable. You know, that's good news because when I think about traveling, just for example, like recently I traveled from Southern to here. I had to get on a plane. And, you know, I always get nervous when I'm on the plane, especially when there's turbulence. And I'm thinking like, oh, Lord, have mercy. Let this plane land safely. But I praise the Lord that the laws of physics, they don't change. Right? While I'm up in the air, it's not like the laws of physics are like, you know, let's just take a break. It doesn't change. No matter how I'm feeling on that plane, because the laws of physics stay the same, you know, I could have some kind of reassurance. God's word doesn't change. And so you might be feeling a certain way. No matter how you feel, that does not change who God is. If you like mathematics, God is the constant. Man is the variable. God is a constant. Man is the variable. God stays the same. Man is consistently changing. And so when we look to God, when we look to his word, we can trust the word. It stays the same all the time. We're going to take a look at a quote here. Oh, before I go to the quotes, let me just share this one story here. You know, there's nothing wrong as we've talked about feelings, right? But we know that we can't always follow our feelings. Because there are days when you do not feel like going to work. And you know that if you follow your feelings, you won't have to wake up for work anymore. You won't have a job. Right? There are days when you don't feel like studying. You would rather sleep in and not go to school. But you know you can't do that. You paid too much tuition for that. So you still go, right? There are days when you don't feel like going to the gym. Even though you made a New Year's resolution, you know you got to stick to it. We know that there are things in life that we need to stick to no matter how we feel, how much more when it comes to God. There are times when we don't feel like praying. We don't feel like reading our Bible. We don't feel like serving the Lord. But that's when we got to choose to walk by faith, not by feelings. Let's look at a quote here. It says, "I have frequently seen that the children of the Lord neglect prayer, especially secret prayer, altogether too much, that many do not exercise that faith which it is their privilege and duty to exercise, often waiting for that feeling which a faith alone can bring." So in other words, what she's saying is that sometimes we're not praying, and the reason why we don't pray is because we don't feel like praying. And what we're waiting for is we're waiting for that feeling, that adrenaline rush, or that warm heartburn kind of feeling to motivate us to pray. She says that faith is our privilege and duty to do what? Exercise. How many of us here like to exercise? Okay, half of us like to exercise. You know, this is the blue zone, and I see a lot of people running around and on their bikes and getting good exercise. Exercise is a good thing. Now, about exercise, you know, whether it's running or swimming or whatever it is, if you want to improve, you have to go at it all the time, right? I saw something on Facebook where it said that if you don't exercise for 2 weeks, you start to lose muscle mass. And so you put in all that effort and protein drinks and all that, and then if you don't work out for 2 weeks, it's like it starts declining. Exercise must be done on a regular basis. She says, our faith is to be exercised. We'll keep on going. We'll look at another, the second part of the quote. Feeling, notice this, is not what, everyone?
Faith.
Feeling is not faith. The two are what? Faith is ours to exercise, but the joy fulfilling, the blessing, whose responsibility is that?
God.
It's God's. So my responsibility, your responsibility, is to exercise faith. The good feelings, that's God's, his priority. That's his part to do. So often we try to look for the good feelings, but God is the one who will supply it. The grace of God comes to the soul through the channel of living faith, and that faith, it is in the power to exercise. So good feelings come and go, but that's up to God. Our part is to have faith. It's kind of like eating. Sometimes I don't feel like eating, and I go out with my friends. I said, no, you guys go ahead. Go ahead and eat. And when they order their food, I can smell the food. I'm like, wait. And they're like, hey, Genesis, you want to try it? All right, take a little bite. And all of a sudden, after taking that bite, like, you know what, I'm going to order something. Right? Or it's kind of like exercise. I don't feel like exercising. But once you start running and you start doing it, the feelings come. So when the feelings are not there, we should still go anyway. When we don't feel like reading the Bible, we ought to read the Bible anyway. When we don't feel like praying, we ought to pray by faith. And those feelings can come. God can give it. Powerful, powerful stuff. And so faith and feelings, they are not the same thing as we have seen. Let's take a look at another quote here. Now, I love this quote. This is from Early Writings, page 72, paragraph 2. You know, this quote says, the very time to exercise faith is when? When we feel, what, full of the Spirit? Destitute of the Spirit. You know, so often, you know, I've served as a youth leader. I've worked with young people. And a lot of times, young people, they say, you know, I just don't feel, you know, I don't feel good. I don't feel right. I don't feel worthy to serve the Lord. I don't feel like going to church. I've made too many mistakes. I don't feel worthy to pray. I've made so many mistakes. They feel destitute of the Spirit. But did you know that the very time to actually exercise faith is when you feel that way? You see, so many times we think, okay, I'll pray when I feel good, but that's just your feelings. Faith is totally different. Faith kicks in even when you don't feel good. That's faith. When thick clouds, this is really poetic, but really beautiful. When thick clouds of darkness seem to hover over the mind, then is the time to let living faith pierce the darkness and scatter the clouds. The time to exercise faith is when you feel that you are in darkness. I've shared this story, I think, one time here at Avon Hope. It bears repeating. I remember when I was flying to GYC in San Jose, it was a crazy, stormy day. And it was just horrible. Some of my friends, they had even car accidents or their car spun out. And I was going on a plane for the first time ever. And so I didn't know too much about planes. And the pilot flies higher and higher towards the storm. And I'm thinking, this guy is crazy. What's he doing? But he flies higher into the clouds and then beyond the clouds. And once we get beyond the clouds, nothing but golden sunshine. And it made me realize that behind the storm, the sun is still there shining. And so when you are in your darkness, when you are in a dark period of your life, and you feel tempted to think that God has forsaken you, this is when we need to exercise faith and say, you know what? I may not feel the presence of God, but I know He's with me. By faith, I trust in His word. I know the clouds are there, but I know that the sunshine is behind the clouds. Exercising faith. Faith and feeling are not the same thing. When you don't feel good, that's the time to trust the Lord, to trust His word. Why? Because His word does not change. His word does not change whether you're feeling good or not. It stays the same. Amen?
Amen.
Powerful, powerful stuff. We're going to take a look at a story here that we are all familiar with. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And actually, I've shared this Bible study not too long ago, but we're going to go into more detail. Pretty sure we're all familiar with this story here. We're looking at Mark chapter 4, and we're going to take a little look at verse 35 and onward. And we're going to go into some details here as well. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Are we all there? Amen?
Amen.
Let's take a look at this story. Remember, we're talking about faith versus feelings. Faith versus feelings. The Bible says, on the same day, when the evening had come, he said to them, to his disciples, let us cross over to the other side. Now, we have to understand, back in Jesus' day, he was like a celebrity. If they had Snapchat back then, they would be Snapchatting, right? If they had cameras back then, they would be taking pictures. But they didn't have that, but they followed Jesus everywhere he went. He was like a celebrity, and Jesus had hardly any time to rest. But even Jesus needed time to rest, and he would tell his disciples, let's go rest. And so this is one of those periods where they would go and rest. So he says to his disciples, let's go in a boat, and let's just go rest. Let's cross to the other side, presumably safely and alive. Verse 36. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. So even though they're trying to escape and get some time alone, other people are like, you know what, let's follow Jesus. And they got in little boats and they followed Jesus. Verse 37, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he, verse 38, was in the stern, asleep on a what, everyone? Now, why does the Bible say he was asleep on a pillow? It could have just said Jesus was asleep, and that would be the end of it. We understand. But it goes on to say that Jesus had a pillow. Why did it say Jesus had a pillow? Is there a purpose for that? We'll come back to that. But the Bible says that they were in a storm, a great storm. And as we recall, some of these disciples are actually fishermen. They were acquainted with storms. And the Bible says, we keep reading verse 38, they awoke him and said to him, teacher or master, do you not care that we are perishing? You know, very interesting as we reflect on this. When we think about life and the storms that we face in life, sometimes we feel as if we are going through dark times in our life. Maybe you are going through some kind of financial storm, or maybe it's an educational storm. You study so hard and you're not doing so good. Maybe it's a relational storm, or maybe it's health, some kind of storm that you are facing in your life. And the thing is this, you are acquainted with problems in life, but we know how to solve the problems on our own. But what we look at here is that the disciples came to a point where they tried to save themselves, but they couldn't. And when you come to a point where you are out of control, that can be very scary. You know, I do a little bit better now, but I used to have the reputation of driving kind of fast. And my passengers, they would always be scared, and I guess it was a spiritual experience for them too, because they would be the ones praying. And so, you know, they would be riding with me, and I'm driving, and I just want to go from point A to point B, and they're afraid. And I don't feel afraid. You know why I don't feel afraid? I'm in control. I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm going. But then there are times when I'm not the driver, and I'm the one sitting shotgun on the passenger seat, and someone is driving a little too aggressive, and I'm thinking, slow down there. And I'm trying to step on an invisible brake that's not there. We've all done it, right? Like, we wish there was a brake, but it's not there. But we feel scared. Why do we feel scared? Because we're not the ones controlling the car. We feel out of control. When we can control life, finances are good, school is good, relationships good, health is good, life is good. Oh, there's problems. Oh, I could fix it. It's still good. But when something happens and I can't control it anymore, that is scary. The disciples came to a point where they were not in control and they were afraid for their lives. So what do you do when you are afraid for your life and you're out of control? Who do you go to? You go to God. You go to God, amen? And they go to God. They go to Jesus and they come to Jesus. And what do they find Jesus doing? He's asleep on a pillow. Now, can any of you relate to that? When you need God the most, and you're on your knees praying, crying, maybe even fasting, God, I really need you to do something here. And it feels as if your prayers are not even going past the roof. And it seems as if God is asleep when you really need him. Has that ever happened to you? And have you ever been tempted to ask a question that the disciples asked? They asked a question that questioned the very character of God. Master, don't you care about us? Lord, I am suffering. I am in agony. We are about to die. We're about to drown in our finances. We're about to drown in education. We're about to drown in relationships or in health. God, I am perishing. I'm struggling. You're asleep when I need you the most. Don't you care about me, God, that I'm about to perish in my problems? Maybe we're tempted to ask God if he cares because we feel forsaken. But faith is different. Verse 39. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Just like that, Jesus was able to calm the storm by the power of his word. He shows that he's still in control. And when that happens, you're praying God change something. And God changes something, we're like, praise the Lord. I thought I was going to fail the class, but the Lord helped me. I got an A when I thought I should have failed the test. Praise the Lord. I thought I was going to get fired. Instead, I got promoted. Praise the Lord. I thought something bad's going to happen, but something good came out. Praise the Lord when good things happen. But what happens when he doesn't calm the storm? Yeah, praise him anyway. I heard a song on the radio a while ago that says something like this. Sometimes God calms the storm, but other times he calms his child. You know, sometimes God will calm the situation, answer your prayers, and life will be good again. But sometimes God will allow you to go through the storm, but he'll go with you, but he'll calm you. You know, the disciples, you got to think about it. They're in a boat with somebody. They're with Jesus in that boat. It's not like they're by themselves. They're in the boat with Jesus. If anything happens to them, it'll happen to Jesus too. But they kind of forgot about that. They're actually safer in the boat with Jesus in the storm than on dry ground without Jesus. Anyway, he calms the storm. Now it's Jesus' turn to ask the questions. And he says in verse 40, "Why are you so fearful?" And I imagine he says it with love and compassion. "How is it that you have no faith?" Now, what is faith? Faith, and I don't know if I have it up here, or if we passed it already. Let's see. Here we go. Faith, this is from This Day with God, page 9, paragraph 4. Faith is not a happy flight of feeling. It is simply taking God at his word and believing because what? He said he would do this. Faith is taking God at his word. Jesus says, "How is it you have no faith?" Well, what is faith? Faith is taking God at his word. Was there a word that God gave that should have brought them comfort? Well, there was. If you look at verse 35, Jesus said, what are we doing? We're crossing to the other side. Amen? Now, I imagine Jesus was confident that they were going to cross to the other side, so Jesus must have purposely brought that pillow with him. Because he's like, you know what, I need to get some sleep, I need a rest, and I know we're going to make it to the other side, and so, you know, I'm going to go to sleep. Oh, I better let my disciples know so they don't worry. Hey, guys, we're going to the other side. And if they had faith, they would have been like, all right, Jesus, no matter what happens, we know we're going to make it. But instead of having faith in the word of Jesus, they defaulted on feeling. When the clouds came and the wind blew, they followed their feelings instead and they questioned God's character. God, do you not care? So often we do the same. When problems come, we forget the words of God and we default on our feelings. Jesus said, we're going to make it to the other side. Brothers and sisters, I'm not sure what exactly you might be going through, but God knows. God cares, and his promises are true. God's word can give us so much peace of mind So often we worry for nothing. The disciples, they worried for nothing. Because Jesus never said it'll be comfortable. He just said we're going to make it. And they worried for nothing. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes we worry when we shouldn't even be worrying. We're worried about things that are out of our control. When I was in high school, I went through a period of my life where I questioned the love of God for me. And, you know, I was raised sheltered. I've never done drugs. The only drugs I've done was like Tylenol over the counter. I've never done clubbing except for the Pathfinder Club. I have never gone to parties except for like potlucks. I've been sheltered, but somehow I still believe that, you know, I'm offending God and I need to be right with God. And no matter what I did and no matter how much I prayed, I did not feel forgiven. I was relying upon my feelings. Friends, I was worried for nothing. Why? Because God's word said in 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's his word. You may not feel forgiven, but if you confess your sins today, you can leave here today forgiven. The reason why I say this is because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, let's go there real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13. 1 Corinthians, if you're not sure, it comes right before 2 Corinthians. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, and I hear people still going there. We all there, amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, the Bible says, know what, everyone? No temptation has overtaken you except such as is what? Common to men. In other words, if you are struggling with something, it is very likely someone else is struggling with something very similar. And so the fact that I went through a period in my life where I thought, God can't forgive my sins, I don't feel forgiven, chances are there's someone either here today or listening on Audioverse who is struggling with the same thing. God can't forgive my sin, I don't feel forgiven. Today, if that is you, I want to tell you, take God at his word. Amen. Don't follow your feelings. Follow what the Bible says, because God's word is true. I'll take a look here. You know, God says to trust him, and part of trusting God means that we have to sometimes let go. You guys have seen this cartoon on Facebook? So just trust me. And God has something bigger, and he's asking us to sometimes surrender the small things that we have for something better. Part of trusting God means that God, I don't see what you're doing, but I'm going to trust you anyway. God, I may not feel like I'm going anywhere, but if I follow your word, I know that you are leading and I can trust that you have my intentions, my best intentions in your mind. God cares about us. He's asking us to take him at his word and to trust whatever he's saying. I want to show you guys this picture here. That is a burning building. And there's a story about a little boy who was trapped in a burning building. And the fire was so bad that it blocked off all the exit escapes. The little boy could not escape from the burning building through the exit. But there was a window, and he could jump out the window, but there was a problem. The little boy was not on the first floor. He was like maybe on a second or third floor. He was elevated. And so he was afraid. And to make things even worse, he could not see because the smoke began to blind his eyes. And if he didn't act quickly, he would die in that fire. When all of a sudden he hears the voice of his father coming from outside, "My son, jump out the window." The little boy said, "But Dad, I'm so scared." The father says, "Just jump and trust me, I will catch you." The little boy says, "But Dad, I cannot see you. The smoke is blinding my eyes." The father says, "That doesn't matter. What matters is that I could see you. Just jump and trust me. Take me at my word." The little boy jumped. The father caught him. You know, same thing with us, friends. There are some things in life God is saying to either surrender or to move forward or whatever it is. God is saying, just simply trust him. Trust him, no matter what the circumstance. You might think, well, wait a minute, I've been faithful to God and bad things are still happening to me. Well, if you remember in Hebrews chapter 11, let's go there real quick. Hebrews chapter 11. Sometimes we ask the question, but I'm faithful to the Lord. And even though I'm faithful to the Lord, bad things still happen to me. I want to show you something in Hebrews chapter 11. Remember, this is known as the Hall of Faith, and it's recognizing men and women of the Bible who have walked by faith. And it gives us a list of people who have walked by faith. You know what's really interesting? Something that I kind of learned that's kind of new? Who is the first person that Hebrews 11 recognizes? Abel. Abel, right? If you read in verse 4, it says, by faith, Abel. Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. So, Abel is the very first person that Hebrews recognizes. But do you know what happened to Abel? He was killed. Why was he killed? Was he being unfaithful to God? What got him killed? His faithfulness. Sometimes you're suffering, and it's not because you're unfaithful. It might be because you are being faithful. So when something bad happens to you, don't be discouraged and think, oh, bad things are happening to me. Maybe I got God upset somewhere. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. That is not the indicator whether God is with you or not. We are to take God at his word and trust him no matter what the circumstance, whether good things happen to me or bad things. Because if you look at the next person, it recognizes, who is the second person that Hebrews 11 recognizes? And what happened to Enoch? Yeah, he never died. And so you see that he was faithful and he never dies, but Abel was faithful and he dies. So whether good or bad things happen to you, that's not an indicator if God is with you or not. How do we know if God is with us? We go to the Bible and we claim the promises of God. If God is for us, who can be against us? So with that being said, brothers and sisters, I just want you to think about that. Faith versus feeling. So easy to give into faith, or so easy to give into feelings and not into faith. So easy to listen to the lies of the devil and to be discouraged. But I want to encourage you, when you feel discouraged, look to Jesus, look to the Word, see what God has to say before you follow your feelings. Amen? Let us pray. Loving Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this Bible study on faith and feelings. Father, we have seen that feelings, there's nothing wrong with it in and of itself. It's a good thing. Without feelings, life would be really boring. You gave us feelings. You gave us our emotions. But we ought to walk by faith when we feel discouraged. When we cannot sense your presence, Father God, I pray that you would help us to cling to you, to look to Jesus, and to trust your word. Help us, Lord, to serve you in all times, Lord, no matter what is to happen. We love you, Lord. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.